As you can imagine, New Year's Eve in Sydney takes a lot of organising. Emma Bedford managed to get to talk with a man who produces the event to get some insight into what's involved.
This is Aniron Coffer. He's the
producer of Sydney New Year's Eve.
Thank you very much. I was going to say your title and then I thought you better say it in case I get it wrong. So you've been the producer of Sydney New Year's Eve for about 5 years now. What is it that keeps you coming back?
Oh, well, why wouldn't you? It's the best gig in the world, you know. You get to play with 7 tonnes of explosives on the greatest harbour in the world and ring in a year and give 1.5 million people a reason to put a smile on their face.
Yeah, wow. So before you were the producer, you were the production manager. Can you remember the first time that you saw the fireworks?
The New Year's Eve fireworks I actually saw for the first time in the mid-90s when I first moved to Sydney. Went out on a boat and watched the fireworks. I'd been in Sydney, I think, all of a week. And, yeah, checked out the fireworks and thought, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Didn't think I'd ever work on it.
Yeah, right. And do you still now, working on it, get the wow factor on the night?
Yeah, I do. I think there's always something about fireworks that really give that great sense of occasion and put a smile on the face. No matter how young or old you are, it's that the lights in the sky just give you an amazing perspective on things.
It's true, isn't it? And it draws people out and they, you know, come with their friends and family and stuff. You've spent many hours staring out at that vista, I can imagine. Is there anything of special note that you'd like to mention about the harbour foreshore for our vision impaired listeners to help me paint a picture, bring to life what you can see outside of the fireworks?
I think the most amazing thing about Sydney Harbour is the scale of the harbour. And on New Year's Eve, it's the thousands, and it is literally thousands, of spectator boats that are out on the harbour having a great time, enjoying their evening. You see the lights on. It's quite an amazing spectacle, seeing all the dotted lights around the harbour, and you can see the edge of the exclusion zone because suddenly the lights stop and it's dark in the middle of the harbour.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's quite an amazing view, where you see this carpet of light which has got this big gap in the middle where we have our exclusion zone for the fireworks. So I think that would be probably the most amazing bit of the vista there. But also then the people gathered around the harbour and the colour. When you look around Sydney Harbour on any other day, you see a lot of the green of the parks and Taronga Zoo and so forth, and you know, a bit of red rooftops and so forth. But on New Year's Eve, during the day at least, you're actually seeing a huge array of colour out there with all the people who've gathered there and their little tents and their umbrellas, sun umbrellas, and all their colourful clothing. And it's just a completely different vista to what you normally see around.
It is, isn't it? And I really like what you said about the darkness of the exclusion zone, because it's not something we've mentioned before in the audio description, so I shall look for this.
Absolutely.
So I know that the Harbour of Light Parade happens. I know it occurs at about 9:15 for a few hours, and that's when, you know, the boats light up. How long has that been going for? I did a bit of Googling for my audio description research and I couldn't find this information, so I'm curious.
The Harbour of Light Parade was born out of a parade that was conducted around 2000, so the millennia celebrations on Sydney Harbour. Back then it was a sea creatures parade. So there were lanterns created by a group of Chinese artists who created all sorts of animals from Sydney Harbour and the Sydney coastal region. And they were put on barges and they were towed around the harbour.
Okay.
And because they cost a fortune, we allowed, I wasn't here then, but we allowed the sponsors to have a vessel in going around with the sea creatures so that they could have their, you know, stakeholders and partners on board. We couldn't afford to do the Harbour of Light Parade, the Sea Creatures Parade anymore after 2000, but we could allow commercial vessels to come in and light themselves up with rope light.
Oh, yeah, right.
So that's how the Harbour of Light Parade was born. And in the 15 years since then, it's really evolved. I think in the first year there were maybe 8 or 10 vessels in the parade, and this year I think we're at about 46 vessels in the parade.
Yeah, right.
So it's grown significantly. significantly. It's much more regimented fair now, with the parading around the harbour, with the lights coming on at, you know, immediately at the end of the 9 p.m. fireworks, and it's quite a spectacle now. So it's grown over the years.
Yeah, cool. Mm. That's great backstory. Every year this event gets bigger and bigger. The pylon projections on the eastern side, I know, are much bigger this year, featuring spectacular imagery for the Welcome to Country pylon projections on the pylons. Can you tell me about the new dimensions of that?
Yeah, so this time, for the first time on New Year's Eve, we're doing video for the full height of the pylons. So all of the eastern faces of the pylons will be projected on. Also, for the first time, we're projecting onto the western faces of the pylons. Not the full faces, but what we've previously done on the east, we're doing on the west side. So that's a fantastic new feature. We've got a lot of our audience on the western side of the Harbour Bridge, with Barangaroo coming online, with Blues Point always having been a huge area for gathering, the Luna Park events and so forth. We've always had a big audience on the west side at a harbour, but we've never even been able to give them a countdown. So this time, for the first time, we're giving them a countdown on the west, and all of the content that we're creating for the east, which is absolutely staggering. I've been going through that for months now and looking at as it's been generated, and it's amazing work. It's really incredibly moving imagery as part of the Welcome to Country. Some amazing artwork from some of our Creative Spaces artists, who are artists that operate in City of Sydney premises on Oxford Street and William Street. So they've done some great work up there, and just general exploration of the theme and a little bit of fun up there, actually. We've got several segments that are just playing around with the pylons. We haven't quite knocked them over, but there'll be segments with whales swimming through the pylons and fish and flying animals, all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I look forward to it. That sounds great. Can you talk a little bit about the collaboration with Romance is Born and Province for this year's pylon projections?
Yeah, as I said, those two creatives from our Creative Spaces program, which is a program that the city runs giving access to underutilized space owned by the City of Sydney to artists and creatives.
Sure.
It's a great program, and Romance was Born and Province were very early people within that program. We've been working with them for a couple of years now, the city, and we thought they were a great showcase for the amazing work that gets done in the City of Sydney. So we talked to them about doing some artwork for some of the ticketed event sites that we operate, and also some of the artwork on the pylons. So they're part of our creative sequences on the pylons.
So do they feed into the design process, or is it their designs that we're seeing?
A mixture of the two. So yeah, they're fed into the design a bit, but then there's also, particularly with Province, they are graphic artists.
Sure.
So their work is actually being showcased on the pylons. A Romance was Born being fashion designers. We've got imagery of their work, but they haven't actually created the thing that's going on.
The
work on the pylons.
Thanks for clarifying. And with those new pylon projectors, where are the, for my benefit, because I'm curious, where are the projectors beaming from?
So we have towers which hold the projectors. They sit just in front of the pylons on the east and the west and north and south. So there are four towers. One is in Luna Park. One's just outside the Siebel Pier 1. They're the two western side positions. The big ones are in our Dawes Point viewing area site in Dawes Point, just near the Park Hyatt, and also at Dr. Mary Booth Reserve near the Kirribilli Wharf is where the one for the northeastern pylon is. So yeah.
And how many projectors does it take to produce each of the larger images?
The larger images, I believe we've got 15 projectors in each of those large towers, and each of those projectors is 20,000 lumens.
I was not expecting you to say that. Yeah, right. That's huge. That's a lot of equipment.
It is a lot of equipment, and it takes up a lot of space. They're big towers, but it creates a really great effect. We did a test down there a couple of weeks ago of just how that looks, and the brightness that we're getting on those pylons is fantastic. and it'll be really amazing seeing the entire pylon just come to life with that vibrancy and colour that you get from completely saturating it with as much light as you can put onto it.
And with the new pylon projections, that sounds fantastic. Are there also new pyrotechnic effects this year?
Yeah, we've got some great new pyrotechnic effects. The biggest ones that people will notice will be what we've done on the bridge. We've got an extra 2,400 effects on the bridge this year. All up, there's 5,800 cues on the bridge this year, which is enormous. This year we've put new positions on the bridge. We thought we couldn't cram another cracker onto that bridge, but we found out how to do another 2,400 of them. So we're very proud of that, and that'll look quite amazing. Also, within the barge fireworks, the shells that are up there, there are some great new effects that the Fodies have been working on. There's some plants and animals which are representing the 200th anniversary of the Royal Botanic Garden and 100th anniversary of Taronga Zoo, and a few other bits and pieces that, you know, the Fodies have been in fireworks for hundreds of years, and every year they come up with something new and special for us to play with.
Yeah, it seems to get bigger and bigger every year. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
For the 2014 Sydney New Year's Eve, there were 6 vantage points offering designated viewing areas. Is it the same for this year?
Yeah, there's 4 extra this year, actually. We've got 2 new ones on the islands on Sydney Harbour, and one in Vaucluse and one in North Sydney. So they're
more.
Extra ones, or even more there. You can go to the website to see where those are, sydneynewseve.com. But we think it's a really great addition to the event, and we try to increase those every year. And I'm very happy to say that all of our partner agencies and landholders have a similar passion for that. We've 2 years ago, I think it was, we started a small working group to see how we could bring more accessibility features into the event, and sitting down with our colleagues, and that's become the working group that everybody wants to be on, because it's so great. You actually really making a difference to how
truly.
People experience the event, and there's nothing better than that for a event person to actually be able to see the outcome of that. So that group's done some great stuff. There's the additional vantage points, accessible vantage points that we get every year, but there's also the event guide, which is now being done in Braille and in large print. There's a buggy on Macquarie Street which helps patrons get in and out of the main viewing areas down there.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, there's this fantastic audio description.
Of course. Fantastic audio description. Not that we're biased.
It is actually, not wanting to blow my own trumpet or yours, but it is one of the things I'm most proud of having instigated for New Year's Eve is the audio commentary, because it just does give another way of accessing the event. And the first year we did the audio commentary, I got a letter from a gentleman who described that he'd been to the fireworks every year. He went and spent it with his friends in an apartment in Circular Quay, I think it was, and he wrote and he described that he'd always been there and he loved being there because he was with his friends, but for the first time ever he'd actually felt like he was part of the event, and that actually brought a tear to my eye, really. I was actually really proud that we'd done that, even if it was just for one person. That makes it worthwhile.
That one difference. I read that there's about 1,000 accredited personnel that work on the night and 300 volunteers to make it all happen. Can you break down that a bit for us so we get kind of a bit more of an idea of what's happening down there?
Yeah, absolutely. So our workforce breaks down into a bunch of categories. So there are 6 of us that work on the event 12 months of the year. We're full-time at the City of Sydney. We then bring on around 95 temporary and casual staff who come on. They would be event managers, site managers, through to stage managers, assistant stage managers, production assistants, all the people who put on the bits and pieces of the event. We've then got our workforce that comes from our contractors, which is the lion's share of those. So that would be everything from the Fotey family have, I think, about 80 of those 1,000-odd accredited personnel. And then lighting companies, sound companies all have their personnel who are working on the event. Then with the volunteers, we've got a huge contingency of volunteers at our Lord Mayor's picnic, which is a picnic for 1,000 children with disability or disadvantage and their carers in the Royal Botanic Garden. And we have volunteers from the Guides and Rovers, the SES and various other organisations that come down and assist down there and do a great job down there. And then there's another couple of hundred volunteers that form the backbone of our customer service on the night and are our spectator services volunteers. And they are out on the streets assisting people getting to where they need to go and giving information about the event and how to get around.
Do they wear a special colour or something? How do we...
They do. They will be very obvious on the street. They'll look for the blue information sign on the tent or structure that they're in, and they'll be in the event uniforms in there.
Yeah, thanks. So there's clearly a lot of pre-planning that goes into this event. Are you already planning the 2017 Sydney New Year's Eve, or do you get a break between one and the next?
So planning for a New Year's Eve starts 15 months out.
Right.
So we've already started looking at the theme and the master imagery for 2016 New Year's Eve, next year's event. So I always joke at this time of year that if I'm doing an interview and accidentally say the wrong theme, it's because I'm thinking of the wrong year.
Can't let the cat out of the bag.
Haven't done it yet, but, you know, it's bound to happen one day. And do I get a break? Well... Yes, we take a bit of time off in January. The whole team kind of shuts down at the end of January and kind of takes a well-earned rest. But then it's same as anybody else. We get take holidays as they come during the year. So,
yeah, for sure. So the obligatory question, do you have any New Year's resolutions that you would like to share with us?
Oh, look, I haven't chosen one yet. Oh. It's very disappointing, I know. I always make sure I do, but I just haven't got to it yet. So that's a little bit tragic.
No worries. So I've got one then. If you were transformed into an animal for a year, what animal would that be?
This is a fascinating one, and I'm actually finding it quite challenging to think of what that would be. I think it would have to be some sort of bird. I think the idea of flight would be amazing, and being able to fly around. The problem with being a bird is you don't have much in the way of an opposable thumb, which would be probably pretty frustrating after a while, I imagine. But
pros and cons,
get to fly. Can't pick anything up.
That would be the most amazing thing in the world, to fly. I agree. Thanks so much for your time for this, and thanks for coming to speaking with me. We've learnt a whole pile of new and interesting things.
Fantastic. It's been a great pleasure.
Emma Bedford was talking to the producer of Sydney New Year's Eve, Anaren Coffee.